was 792 watts. I didn't reset it because you were on there. But excuse me, Jerry. I thought he was in South Carolina or something, but it says WRTC 2023 Award, Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. And they're all over the world. And there was something, award information down here. I'll click on that. This is not the WRTC 2022 contest that will be held in Bologna in July 23. This is the WRTC 2023 award for anybody who wants to have fun and radio chasing and looking for WRTC special event stations all over the world and promoting the event. And it just started. This time in January 2023, it will start again. And I don't send off for no awards, Jerry. But I'll just work as many as I can. They said in 2022 we had a very long and productive 6-month edition of it, and with more than 1.5 million QSOs. Well, at that speed, I can believe it.
Yeah, what is that, rural radio telegraphy thing? Is that what that is, or is that something else? I haven't read up on that. It's been years, I guess, since I paid much attention to it.
It seemed to be CW. I was writing that down, and then I entered in the computer. I guess I spelled that right. Yeah. And that's it. It just says, worked all WRTC stations, 2023 award, and I got a picture of it out there. You know how we used to work submarines and ships and all of that stuff. So I guess it's something along those lines. But I was sitting there looking tonight, and they're just all over the place. But mainly, the only foreign one I see is that one in Bulgaria, and Bulgaria is an everyday occurrence around here. It, you know, a lot of things in Europe are easier down here for me than it was in Kansas. This is N0TR.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is. I could, when I was mostly on 15 meters, I could work in Japan and Australia pretty easily, South Africa, but I got on 20. I had a hard time into Europe. I could work some Italians, and but I hardly ever heard any guys from England at all. Most, you know, very seldom. I'd rather work a little deeper into Europe. But I was running a vertical antenna then. I guess it was just the path, I suppose.
Well, there's quite a few of the G stations there. I just got one hand. I was looking back. I remember working at G3ZZ not very long ago. Italy, yeah, there's one guy I worked him a lot of times. I won, Mike Romeo, and you've probably worked him too. And then they had one just before Christmas. It was called 12 Days of Christmas. And it was called such as Whiskey 2 Lima, Whiskey 2 Sierra, all of that. And so I sat around and did that. Yeah, here's that G6ZZ. It's Operator Royal Something Runner Society, GB, Transatlantic Test Centenary Club, Radio Society of Great Britain. That's what it was. He was on there, but I had just as much fun working that 98-year-old veteran in Simpsonville today as I did then. And then, here's Austria and different places. I thought I worked a guy in Sri Lanka the other day, which would have been a real good one, but I didn't get him. He was really, you know, a weak CW station. Sometimes, though, you know, they'll hear you on the other end, and you'll just barely hear them on this end. And back in Kansas, I had an extra skip there, you know, 2,500 miles or so. And the thing it was, I was only operating on 100 watts for 19 years, so it made it a little more challenging. And I certainly wasn't as good a CW operator back then either, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot of those guys too. They've got a certain speed. They want you to be, you're better off if you send it. If you send it 25, they'll listen to you. Sometimes if you send it too slow, they just ignore you and go on to somebody else too.
Well, I had the occasion to work this kilowatt one GHL up in Vermont. There the other day, I was telling you about. He sent his card and wrote a nice thing on the back. I don't remember what it was, which I never, hardly ever get up on there and sideband and talk. And he said, "Tom, thank you for so much for a pleasant QSO. Hope we can chat again soon. If you ever plan a trip to Vermont, let me know. We charge only $1.13 per week to house our guests' room. I pray for good blessings on you in 2023. So I know he was kidding, $1.13 per week. And he sent that and his business card of some kind. He's going to be 100. And sent a full-size map like we used to buy in the gas stations. Jerry, can you imagine that? Those things are expensive now.
As a matter of fact, I talked to I worked a guy with CW multiple times over the course of about 2 or 3 years. He was at a Bible school somewhere up in Alberta, I think, if I remember correctly. And he'd always send me some kind of literature or something. Yeah, he was I think he was a student at this school. He'd send me all kinds of literature about various things about Alberta. And it was just, just some nights on 40 meters, I could just work him without any problem at all. But he was, they had a school station there is what they had. It wasn't his personal station, but he'd get on about the same time I would, I guess. But we changed QSOs multiple times over 2 or 3 years. And there's a guy in Australia for some reason. He sent me a bunch of stuff from Australia 1 year. And I've sent me stuff about kangaroos and just had he sent a whole packet. It looked like stuff you sent you sent like a 6x9 envelope. He sent me one of those and had a whole bunch of stuff about Australia. I kept that stuff for many years, but I don't know what I did with it now.
Yeah, if anyone else wants to use a repeater, jump in there. Jerry, I've had the same thing happen with some Aussies at times. One of them sent a big thing and a nice letter in his picture, and a picture of his radio station, 4x6 pictures. He sent about 4 or 5 of them. I still got those. And he was a VK. And one of them was on the far side of Australia. And they do a lot of mining and stuff over there. I don't know if that was in Brisbane or where. I can't remember. Pretty much Australia is dead in the center, and the towns are around the perimeter. But I used to talk to a guy in Tasmania ever so often, and he was very interesting to talk to. I kidded him about the cartoon show with the Tasmanian devil on it, and Tom, those things ain't anything like that. He said, "You'd think they was going to kill you, but they're not that way at all."
Yeah, this guy had been a market hunter or something. He hunted, I think they hunted kangaroos, and he said the rabbits there were just, they were overrun with rabbits. This guy was in his 70s when I had a couple of QSOs of them. Like, he sent me a bunch of stuff. I mean, they said they go out at night, hunt them at night, and they don't do it anymore, I'm sure, but they shoot the kangaroos for dog food and stuff like that, and the rabbits were just a pest. He said they'd come in, said, if you didn't have something to protect you, cover your garden or keep it isolated, he said, you just wind up with 150 rabbits out in your garden some evenings.
Well, when we used to take off there at Moffett Field up in San Francisco, they had jackrabbits out there. And I never seen it done, but they said once a year they could go out there way back when I was there, and they had a hunt for them because once those turboprops turned up, it drove them nuts, and they'd run out on the runway, and they were a hazard to the aircraft, because Jackrabbit's pretty good size, you know. But that's interesting. One of the most interesting things I ever had happen on HF, he was in Central America, Nicaragua, I think, Jerry. And anyways, he said he was from a town in Missouri. Well, to us up in Kansas, we was right in the southeast corner, about 5 miles from the Missouri border. Joplin, Missouri was our big town, and it was about 28 miles away. So we always called it 30. But this little bitty town he talked about had a little bitty church. And he was a minister there, and he was a missionary down there in El Salvador. I think it was. Yeah, it was El Salvador. And I got his card here. And I said, well, if you're ever up here, if you ever come back up here, because he'd go down there for like a year at a time, I said, drop by and see us. Well, one day, me and N0IGZ, Frank Gilliland, was sitting out in my garage, of which I heated with wood. And, it was in the summer. And, anyways, the garage was split in half, and all I had, all I could afford, was we had a plastic curtain down the middle. I think I might have built the wall by then, I'm not sure. But anyways, Frank and I were sitting there talking in the radio room, and I heard this knock on the door from the empty side of the garage. And at any rate, I went over there and answered it, and it was that missionary from El Salvador or Nicaragua or wherever he was from. He said, well, you said to come by, Tom.
An invite. That's wild.
Interesting conversation on this repeater one day. I was coming down the road, and there's a big hill there just before you get to the house, and a gentleman from Australia come in there, and he had heard me on there, and he tried to call a friend over here that he knew, and then he called me, and I just sat there right there in the yard talking to Australia on 2 meters. That was kind of a treat.
The guy, I think it's series on 71, there was a guy from England who used to have hook up with somebody there in Greenville by Echolink on this machine. It's been, last time I heard him on was maybe about a year ago. Just like every Saturday morning, mail, like at 9 or 9:30 in the morning, they'd talk to each other. That's pretty handy. You know, of course, you can use them. You know, that Echolink will work through an iPhone if you don't have the computer set for your station. And, of course, he sounded great, don't you? You got a good internet connection. Sounds good with the right setup. But I've heard, I can't remember the guy. I don't remember the guy here in Greenville. It wasn't somebody that I heard very often on the repeater. I don't remember his call sign. But I heard him a couple of times over the course of about four or five months, I guess. Haven't heard him lately at all, though.
Yeah, I've talked to him before. And he's a nice gentleman. And I don't remember the other guy either, Jerry, because he wasn't on very long. But like you said, it's been at least a year ago since I heard him. But you know, I don't know anything about it, but you do, I'm sure. These guys, I think Patrick's got it, but these guys talk on DMR or something like that on 2 meters on digital. And it goes over the internet, I'm sure it'd have to. But, you know, if you're just new to ham radio on that, that would be interesting. It's a shame that the sunspots haven't come up where some of these younger guys can enjoy those long-range QSOs on a regular basis like we did. There was guys that had schedules that you could talk to, anywhere in the world just about. It was interesting. I talked to a guy on the Dew line one night, and I forget how many miles he said he was from the North Pole, but it was less than 20 miles from the North Pole. It probably less than 10. He wouldn't tell me exactly what he was doing, but I knew exactly what he was doing because he was in the United States Air Force.
Well, these digital modes, DMR and Fusion, which I use sometimes, and D-Star, all those are, you know, voice over IP basically, but, you know, some people just use it. Use a hotspot, and you can, or you can, some of the repeaters are set up to do that, but I just use a hotspot with mine. I can, you know, hear a lot of people from England, Germany, you know, Korea, all over the place, talking, and then just use a handheld. And it's interesting to hear that sort of thing. I mean, if you, like you said, if you don't have HF capabilities, it's a lot of fun, at least just to listen and give people a little taste of what HF can be like, but it's not the same. It's just another tool in the drawer is what I basically call it, because it's handy if you're not doing anything and you don't have HF capability to be able to talk like that. And it's in the, you know, that digital, it's not like FM or single sideband. It's always got that kind of a compressed sound to it. It's just a little, it's not garbled, you know, but it's got that public service radio sound to it.
Well, I'm going to send this up to the logbook of the world before I forget it. Bernice is sound asleep over there. And Hunter just now come on. We was watching the Rockford Files, and before that, Kojak. You know, these more modern shows.
What I was watching today went a little further back than that. I've been watching Wells Fargo days. I watched one this morning. They got the second episode coming. I've already recorded it. I got to watch it too. One with Dale Robertson in it. The first episode had Chuck Connors in it as a bad guy. And, you know, a lot of these old actors that made it big later on. I think this episode this morning I saw was from 1957.
I used to watch Wells Fargo all the time, most every night. And then she got on this Kojak thing. It's on 16-8. And so we watch Kojak two episodes every night. And then Rockford comes on, but we've seen most of those. But he was a pretty good actor. And I didn't like that little squealer that ran around with him, but you wasn't supposed to, I don't think.
I was a big fan of Rockford. When he was on originally, but I always liked the old drag dance were always good. You don't see those. Those aren't on very often. And watched Dan Tombstone territory on them. It was like four or five seasons in. It just went one after another. We watched all those. And those were remarkably, you know, pretty damn good shows. Cheyenne was too. It's still on there on one of the channels, one of the cable channels we get. But I haven't seen Kojak in a while. We saw all of those about a year or so ago. They kind of rotate one of these, retro, either MeTV or Retro TV, and one of them rotates the series in and out. And they hadn't had Kojak on in a while. They didn't have the, I know you probably remember this, they do still have the Kojak the Night Stalker on them. It comes on like 12:30 on Saturday nights or something like that, and that's always, I was always a fan of it when it was on originally.
No, I don't remember that one, I don't think. There's a guy just come on from, that I've talked to many times, his name's Roy. I remember that from Quickly Down Under, Roy. This guy, he's in Belgium, and, if he was calling CQ, but he quit right now for the second. There he is. Well, he's got quite a bit of fading, but I could work him, I'm sure. But I don't think it's been too long since I worked him, Jerry. And let me see if I see him right there. I'd have to put his call in, and I forgot OP5K. Let's see. OP5 kilowatt, and I worked him in July, and worked him on Christmas Eve this year. 35. So about the same time he comes on, I guess, and then he's in Belgium. Well, I'm not going to bother with him tonight. Sometimes I just do it and then put it on the web so that the other people see it, and then he gets real busy after they see his calls up there.
Time teasing people like that.
And for DX, so if I put him on there, they'll see my call and they'll see this guy in Belgium, and then guys that don't have him will work him, so it makes him happy, I'm sure.
Happy that you're alerting him to it as well, I'm sure. I don't think I've ever worked anybody in Belgium. I don't remember working, but like I said, it's been so long ago, I don't recall. But like I said, I just never got in. I never was able to get much out of Europe, deeper into Italy and into Middle East, and I could work into there. The African stations were not too bad, and I just never worked much in other than Japan and Indonesia and. Philippines, I never worked too far in, never got too far into the Mid-East, and I don't recall, I'm sure I worked a few Indian stations, but India was difficult, of course, I was only running 100 watts, see, does make a difference.
And he's saying his QTH now, is near Antwerp in Belgium, if I remember rightly, and how copy now. He's talking to N3KT, OP5K, and I could work him, but he wants to talk a little bit, and I'm not going to let you go to do that. Besides that, I talked to him the other day on Christmas Eve. by the way, Jerry, that's that new 160-meter vertical. And so it's coming in real good on 40 meters.
Door time. That's a good signal coming in. That makes a big difference. That sounds great. It's a lot of work to get all that wire strung, but the results are worth it.
I never thought about using it so much on 40s. I was thinking about using it mostly on 160, but there ain't been anything on 160 other than U.S. stations, and I don't bother with them very much. Yeah, he just called. He just called CQ again, and please, DX. So, I'll turn that down in the background, Jerry. But he's a nice fella. And there's quite a bit on 40 tonight. Let's see what's over here. I don't know who this is. I'm just going to leave it on that vertical for the heck of it. It's doing pretty good there. It's tuned for 160 meters right at the bottom of the band. I mean, 1.825 is zero. But okay. That's Lima Zulu 0 WRTC. Okay, that's one of those WRTC stations, and he's in Bulgaria. But nice signal.
He was cruising along too, pretty fast. But I tell you, that thing does a good job. I mean, it doesn't matter what band it's tuned for. If you receive it, if it works, it works.
The lesson the other night when I was talking to that fella in Vermont, and I couldn't figure out why my Super Loop, the amplifier, kicked out on me. But I was talking in an area that I don't normally talk, and it was on sideband. And I should have, but I didn't turn the amplifier down. And I usually leave it driving about 55 watts into it, which makes the radio just idle at that. And it'll put out, 900. I think it was about 900 it was spiking to there on the needles. I didn't think anything about it, and after a while, it just kicked out. Well, I got to looking at the sine wave on the antenna that way back W4DJW made me, And sure enough, it was about 3.2 to 1 up there on 75 meters where we were talking. And that amplifier knew it, and it cut out. So I immediately switched it over to the 160-meter Carolina Wyndham. And those guys were saying, "Where'd you go, Tom? Where'd you go?" And I come back. They said, "Oh, yeah, heck, that's better than the other antenna was." Well, it's more made for it, you know. So I learned something. But that's from inexperience on sideband.
You got what, a Meritron?
The ALS 1300, Jerry.
Well, those are pretty reasonable, too, from what I saw of them. I remember when it came out, those Alphas years ago, those things were just like, it wasn't like buying a car, but I mean, it's like buying, I think they were like $4,000 or $5,000. That's been, they were close to 40 years ago, I guess. Those things were prohibitively expensive, but they were good amps. They were just, nobody but, you know, a guy with, well above my level could afford something like that.
I've never had an amp in my life, and I rebuilt an L4B, and I actually lost $100 on it, which was fine. I give it to a real nice gentleman, and I got it to him, and I had $800 in it and let him have it for $7. And he just tickled death, and it's a great amp. And so I took that and some money that I had extra and bought this one, but it wasn't near that much. And now these are just what you're talking about. They're up there about 4K. And the only difference in this one is I don't have 6 meters, and I had to buy a little box here called an ARI 500, and that gives me automatic band switching, so I can just click on the band scope, the radio follows it, and then I tune it with 10 watts, and then the amplifier's there, and it automatically switches to that band. It is so nice. It's like two of the ALS 600s parallel, and so it's a 1,200-watt amp, but I've forgotten to turn it down at times. If you go up, like to 20 meters or 15 meters, which I very rarely operate, and if I just do a contact there, I'll look down, and it'll put out over 1,400 real easy, and it doesn't even strain, but you're only talking for a few seconds there. I wouldn't leave it there at all, but it reads it out on this tuner, and so then I turn it down real quick, because you're supposed to be 1,200-watt amp, but it will do more than that. But it's so nice, you don't have to wait for it to warm up, you don't have to tune it, nothing. You just turn it on, you're ready to go.
40 JC, yeah, that takes a lot of guesswork out of it compared to years gone by. Now, you've got a, you've also got, don't you have a rotor induction tuner as well, or am I thinking wrong?
I can't remember the name of it now, one of the good ones. This is an MFJ998. And, Jerry, it's just a whole plethora of 16-amp printed circuit board relays on a great big card. And they call it an MFJ998. And I got it because N4IQ said it was a good one, and that's what he had. And I think his brother had one. And I think Rusty's got one now. And they went up in price, too, but it was about $600 at the time. And but now I think they're more like 8. But there's just seconds, and you're tuned and ready to go. And it sure beats tuning that tube type amplifier up. I always recommend guys get the solid state because, well, I don't know if tubes will ever go out of style. They've said that years ago that, you know, they're going away from tubes. But the thing I liked about this one is, Jerry, the scheme of things, the MOSFETs back there are individual. And years ago, I had one fail. And I think it was my fault, but at any rate, I was running RIDI. But the guy said, "That don't matter, Tom. we'll take care of it. Just send it to us. And I did, over by Atlanta or someplace there, Alabama, I think. And they turned it around in real fast time. This was long before the COVID thing. And he replaced one, and I noticed it would have been $125 to replace one of those MOSFETs. They're 50 volts. It's got a switch mode 50 volt power supply, which I was a little leery of, but knock on wood, it's been perfect. And a lot of those amplifiers that are solid state, all the transistors are built on one subtrain, so you buy them all if something goes wrong. And I like that engineering aspect of this one. And I took the lid off when I first got it and installed a 10-meter kit in it. And it's just a little circuit board that you got to add. And it's for 10 meters and something else. And the workmanship on the printed circuit boards is really, really good. So that made me happy. This is N0TR.
I've heard those were built really well. You got a really good value for your money out of them. And, I had YouTube when I first started, but I never ran an amp. And when solid state stuff first started out, I know you had a similar model. I had a 120 Kenwood, and I think you told me you had a 140. I may have had a 142 as well, but the Kenwood solid state stuff worked really well, but I had trouble. Excuse me. At least two icons I've had over the years, I've had the final transistor fail in them. So on the solid state side, solid state end of them, and but never had any trouble with the Kenwoods at all. And I've never had a problem with any of the issues I've had over the years either. But I like the solid state stuff. I'm sure it's a lot better now than it was, you know, back in the late 70s. But tube amplifiers are great. I just like being able to, solid state's a lot easier. And, man, I tell you one thing, when you start replacing a tube, you better get out the big checkbook.
You know, I let you hear that conversation with that guy in South Africa the other night. Here's the difference. It says 5.9 plus with heavy QRN. He's talking to NC0JW. But so that really isn't as good a signal as what he had. But when he comes on there, boy, he must have a heck of a rig in South Africa.
The thing about being in that part of the world, too, is you got, that part of the world, it can be very mountainous. It could be up on a real tall, high point that, you know, we may not have in this part of the country. And also, there's not much vegetation either, so they don't have anything to knock that signal down at all either, I suppose. But, you know, I guess the propagation's different down there. But I've heard a lot of South Africans over the years, more so than I've heard in eastern part of Africa by a long shot.
Well, I'll sign up here. ZS6 Charlie Charlie Yankee. And he's got a picture of a commercial building and a tower by it. And it says the de-expedition site, southern Zimbabwe. Up the mast, the vehicle looks smaller. When they're looking down, it says takeoff from 500-foot tower. 0-degree horizon. So maybe they don't have the restrictions we have here, Jerry.
I like it. The only restrictions they've got is money.
On that beam, looks like it's 4-inch square tubing, Jerry. Wow, that's a nice beam.
My limited knowledge of folks who live in South Africa is either they're very rich or they don't have anything much at all. Because the guys, I know two guys that. They don't live anymore, but the two guys out there from South Africa, they started out with not much here in the United States, wound up being multimillionaires, you know. So, you know, I think they just said they have a whole different way of seeing things in the world, but there's a lot of A lot of money in South Africa if you're from the right family, I suppose.
Not the tower he's transmitting from. I see it now, and it looks like a four-element beam, and down below it there's a log periodic. And, I would guess it's probably a 100-foot tower, Jerry. I don't think it's any taller than that. But, the house he lives in, wow. It's beautiful. But boy, he's sure a nice, cordial guy to talk to, I'll tell you. And very easy. I wouldn't bother him again, but he's got a card in here. It says WA6LETM, it's your Radio Society, Menlo Park, California. And it looks very old. Stanford Research Institute. Maybe that's where he used to work, Jerry. That's what it looks like. Yeah. 22 February, 1975.
You see, he's probably an engineer, or was an engineer of some type then, I guess, at Stanford. And, that's interesting. So I'm about to jump off for you. I appreciate you coming back to me there, and hope Bernice gives a good night rest, and you take it easy yourself. You guys get feeling better real soon. Stay out of this weather if you can. I think it's gonna be nasty Wednesday morning. I think tomorrow's gonna be okay maybe, but Wednesday morning they're talking about having some rough storms early in the morning, like 4 or 5 AM. But both of you guys take care, and hope you both feel better soon. And I'll talk to you later for 73 and 4DJC. I'll be clear after you.
Good night, Jerry, and you sound a lot better. Yeah, I made a mistake, Jerry. I ran this on down on QRZ, and as I say, you can look it up. He said he got that card from a guy at Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park. We used to live up there not far from that. We've been to Stanford quite a few times back when they had riots over Vietnam. I remember driving by there and seeing all the graffiti on the walls. It said, this card confirms a two-way EME QSO on 144 megacycles, a CW, between ZE1DX and WA6LET. So evidently that was his old call sign on 22 February 1975. So that guy talked to this Bill that's in South Africa. That's a pretty full piece on 2 meters, isn't it?
An EME contact, maybe.
That's exactly what it is. It says a two-way EME QSO on 144 CW.
Make up a station in 1975 to do that, because that was real fresh in those days. That's not uncommon now, but then back in 75, that was something to be proud of.
Yeah, they got a picture of this WA6LET, and if you took two of those old TV dish antennas and take about 10 of those, except it wasn't a solid one, it was one like you'd see at a research place, which this was, and it shows it pointed towards the moon, but it is humongous. That's why he made that QSO, I suppose. Probably Earth, Moon, Earth, EME. Yeah, that's what it stands for. It's above my pay grade. Jerry, I'll catch you down the line. And I'm going to jump over here and see if there's any news left on the local Fox News channel and get this stuff shut down. 73's Jerry, N4DJC, and 0OTR. Be clear.